Well, good morning. What a joy it is to be here in the Lord's house on this Sunday before Christmas. I want you to take your Bibles, if you have a copy of God's Word, and turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Today, I want to talk to you about how through His coming, Jesus Christ reveals the Father. God sent His Son, Jesus, because His heart's desire is for us to know Him and to experience eternal life through Him. Christmas began in God's heart, and Christmas is complete when it reaches our hearts. It was a bitterly cold December in 1943. A little family had just moved to a small town in North Dakota. Mom, a dad, a son, and then an older daughter. And they had moved around to all kinds of little towns in North Dakota. The father worked for an oil company, and he'd get transferred from one place to another. Sometimes they didn't even stay for a year at a particular place. And in the midst of moving from one place to another, the mother had just gotten heartbroken because they had a beautiful nativity set that somehow had gotten misplaced. And so that Christmas, she told her husband, "We need to buy a new manger scene for our family." And he said, "Well, if you can find one here in town, certainly go get one." And so she went to the Five and Dime store, and there she found for $3.99 a boxed nativity set, and she bought it and brought it home. She and her son and her daughter unpacked every piece in the set, and they laid out each piece as they unwrapped it. And so there were three shepherds, and there were three wise men, and two sheep, and one donkey, and one cow, and one Mary, and one Joseph, and two babies. And the son said, "Hey, we got twins." But the mother would have absolutely nothing to do with it. She said, "Oh, no, no. If we've gotten two baby Jesuses, that means that there's somebody in their set who doesn't have a baby Jesus. We've got to make sure that they get their baby Jesus." And so she told her son and daughter, "Go back down to the Five and Dime store and tell them if anybody is missing a baby Jesus to call 7162. And they said, "It's cold outside, Mom." She said, "I don't care. I want you to go down. You tell the manager we've gotten an extra Jesus in our set, and if somebody needs a baby Jesus, call 7162. And so they went down to the store, and they told the manager what their mother had told them to say, and he made a cardboard sign and put it on top of the box nativity sets, and it said, "If you are missing baby Jesus, call 7162. From there on out, the rest of the Christmas season, every time the phone would ring, the mother would say, "I bet that's about Jesus," and it never was. And finally, the father said, "Why don't we just take the extra Jesus and wrap him up and put him back in the box?" And she said, "That is not right to do that to baby Jesus, especially at Christmas time." And so there on their dining room table, they had the whole set, and in the manger, there were two babies. The brother said, "It's like we've got an extra helping of Jesus this Christmas." Well, there's only one Jesus. The Bible says about him in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." There's only one Jesus, but I'll also tell you this, in Jesus Christ, there is more than enough to meet every need that we ever have. Take your Bibles, and as we look in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, I want us to see the story of how the shepherds came to see Jesus. Will you stand with me as we read God's Word together? The Bible says, beginning in verse 15, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of God. Will you join with me as we pray? Lord, how we love you and praise you and thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to reveal your heart, your compassion, your love, and your desire to save us from our sin. Now, Father, I pray that you would move me out of the way and that you would speak. Lord, speak a word that we would hear today to transform our lives through your son, Jesus. And we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do, Lord. For we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to look at this text of Scripture, and I want to talk to you about how Jesus reveals his Father's heart to us. And I want you to notice several things that happen through the coming of Jesus into the world. First of all, the Bible shows us this. The coming of Jesus offers us a thing to perceive. A thing to perceive. It's a very interesting thing as we look in verse 15 of the text in verse 16. The Bible says that after the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to look at one another and they said, let's go over to Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem wasn't far from them at all. They said, let's go to Bethlehem because that's where we've heard this child has been born. And let us see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And the language there that the shepherds used in the New Testament languages is a very urgent decision to say we've got to leave where we are and go to see this thing that has happened. There was a thing to perceive. And then verse 16 says, they went with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Notice that word found in verse 16. They went with haste and found. The word found there means to find something after you've looked for it for a long time. They got up, they ran to Bethlehem, and they began to look everywhere they could to find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. The angel has said, this is the sign. This is how you'll know it's the one I'm talking about, the Savior who is Christ the Lord. It will be the one wrapped in swaddling cloths as most babies were, but lying in a manger as no babies were. And so they looked. You can almost imagine them going from place to place in Bethlehem. Now, we have a nativity scene in our front yard, and there's a spotlight on it. But there was no spotlight on the manger that night in Bethlehem. They had to look, they had to search, and eventually they found the one they were looking for. They found Mary, they found Joseph, they found the babe lying in a manger. You see, the shepherds understood that to hear the message about Jesus requires a response. I mean, could you imagine the shepherds there in their fields, and after the angels had appeared and made this announcement that there had been born that day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and after the angels had sung, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, after all that was over and the angels disappeared and the light suddenly departed and the sky grew black again and their eyes and their ears adjusted to everything that they had seen, could you imagine the shepherds just looking at one another and saying, wow, man, that was something. I've never seen anything like that before. I've never heard anything like that before. That was incredible. I never want to forget this as long as I'm alive. Now, what was it that we were talking about before that happened? Oh, yeah, you were telling me about how you keep lice off of your sheep. Can you go back and talk to me more about that? Because I'm telling you, my sheep are just eaten up with lice, and I got to know what to do about it. Could you imagine the shepherds doing that? Hearing that message and then just going back to whatever it was they were doing, it would be ridiculous. It would be unthinkable. For them to hear a message like the message they heard required them to say, let us go and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has made known to us. They heard, they believed, and they responded. And in the same way, when you hear the good news of Jesus Christ, when you hear that one has come who is the Savior, Christ the Lord, you can't just hear that message and say, great, I get it. I understand. Yeah, I get it. Jesus was born and he's the Son of God. You can't just do that way. You can't even say, yeah, I believe that's true, and then just keep on going the way you were going. When you hear the message of Jesus, that message requires a response. And so I would ask you today, have you responded to Jesus? I know you've heard the message that Jesus is God's Son and that Jesus came because he loves you and that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins and that Jesus rose again to give you eternal life. I know you've heard that message because I just told it to you. But I'm asking you this. Have you responded to that message and said, I've got to come and experience this one whose name is Jesus, the Savior, Christ, the Lord. The coming of Jesus offers us a thing to perceive. Secondly, the Bible says this, the coming of Jesus offers us a truth to proclaim. The coming of Jesus offers us a truth to proclaim. So continue with me down in verse 17 of the text. The Bible says, after they came and they found Mary and Joseph, and after they found this baby lying in the manger, the Bible says, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Now, I want you to notice something very carefully in this verse. They came and they saw, but what they shared was not what they had seen. Instead, what they shared was what they had heard. Don't miss that. They began to share what they had heard from the angel about this baby that they had seen. They began to share, in other words, that this baby who had been born is the Savior, is Christ, the Messiah, is the Lord, the very Son of God. They began to make known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. So who did they tell? Well, first of all, they told Mary and Joseph, because there was a message that the angel had given the shepherd that really had not yet been shared with Mary and Joseph. Now, Mary knew that the child that she had born was the Son of God because the angel had told her that. And Joseph knew that this baby who was to be named Jesus came to save his people from their sins. The angel had told them that. Now they had a public confirmation of what they had heard privately. This baby that Mary had given birth to is the Savior, Christ the Lord. And so they shared that message. The shepherds shared it with Joseph and Mary, but then they shared it with everyone they could find. You can almost imagine them running into the inn and telling everyone in the inn about this baby who had born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You can think about them running back into their neighborhood and waking up everybody in their homes and breathlessly telling them, there's a baby that's been born in Bethlehem. He's the Savior, Christ the Lord. You can almost imagine them coming back to their shepherd's fields and telling all the other shepherds, there's a baby born right over here in Bethlehem. He's a Savior, Christ the Lord. There was a truth they had to proclaim. In fact, they couldn't help but proclaim what they had heard about this one whom they had seen. By the way, we see that pattern repeated over and over again in Scripture. When you know Jesus, you tell other people about Jesus. When Jesus Christ has changed your heart and your life, when you know who he is and when you know why he has come, then you will share and proclaim that message with others. The Bible talks about that in the book of Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, in the earliest days of the church in the city of Jerusalem, John and Peter and other disciples were proclaiming the message of Jesus, that he came, that he's God's Son, that he died on the cross, that he rose again, that he gives eternal life to everyone who believes. And they even healed a man in the name of Jesus. A man who had never been able to walk suddenly was able to walk in the name of Jesus. And as a result of their preaching, Peter and John found themselves brought in front of the Jewish religious authorities, being punished and threatened for proclaiming Jesus. And the religious leaders were afraid to do too much to punish Peter and John because they had so much favor with all the people and because there was no doubt that a miracle had been done in the name of Jesus. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 verse 18, so they called them, the religious leaders called Peter and John and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. What would you do if you were told by the governmental authorities not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus? What if you were told that the company policy where you work is that you cannot speak at all about the name of Jesus? What about if you go home with your family for Christmas and you know your family environment is such that they don't want you to speak at all in the name of Jesus? But here's the truth. For most of us, it doesn't take governmental authority or company policy or even family pressure to keep us from speaking about Jesus. Most of us, just our own internal apprehension keeps us from speaking about Jesus. What happened with Peter and John? Notice what the Bible says as we continue in verse 19 of Acts chapter 4. The Bible says, "But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.'" Peter and John said, "You can tell us what you want to tell us. You can warn us all you want to warn us. You can threaten us all you want to threaten us. You need to understand, we can't help but speak about Jesus. Because we've seen him, and we've heard his message, and because he has transformed us, we cannot help but speak of what we have seen and heard." What about you, Christian? Listen, we, and when I say we, I don't mean you and not me. I mean we. I mean, I'm in this with you. We have come to a place where we think that it's difficult to talk to people about Jesus and normal to keep quiet about Jesus. Am I just up here by myself, or would you say, yeah, that's right? Say that's right. Yeah, it is. We've come to the place where we think that it's difficult to talk to people about Jesus, therefore normal not to ever share Jesus with others. The early church said that it was normal to talk to people about Jesus and impossible to stay quiet. We cannot help but speak what we have seen and we have heard. The coming of Jesus Christ gives us a truth to proclaim. And dear Christian friends, I want to just encourage you this coming week, when the whole world is focused on the coming of Jesus, let's look for opportunities to talk to people, the people we care about the most, the people that God brings across our path, even this Christmas week. Let's look for opportunities to tell others the good news of the one who has been born, who's the Savior, Christ the Lord. Jesus offers us a truth to proclaim. Thirdly, the Bible shows us this. The coming of Jesus offers us a treasure to ponder. A treasure to ponder. Look in verse 19 of the text. "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." The words of verse 19 are a contrast from everything else we've seen so far in the story. We see the excitement of the angelic armies announcing the birth of Christ. We see the exuberance of the shepherds as they're sharing Jesus with everyone with whom they come into contact. And then the Bible says in the midst of that, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." Look at two particular words in verse 19, treasured and pondered. The word treasure there means to look at something very deeply and to examine it. It means to hold something closely because it's so valuable to you. Mary treasured up all these things that she had seen and heard, and she pondered them in her heart. The word ponder means to put the pieces together in order to understand the meaning of all that you've heard. And so she treasured everything that she had heard. She said, "I never want to forget this. I always want to keep this close in my heart. I want to make sure that this is a deep part of who I am. This message, that this baby that's in front of me is the Son of God, the Savior, Christ, the Lord. I want to ponder that and put it together so that I can understand fully what it means. And for the rest of his life, Mary looked at Jesus and watched Jesus and pondered the meaning of his coming. Sometimes it was very difficult for her. Later on in the Gospels, we find her struggling with her son's mission and struggling with the fact that he was born to die. She pondered that truth of who this baby was until the day that she stood next to his cross and looked up as her firstborn son suffered and bled and died for her. She pondered these things in her heart. The coming of Jesus gives us a treasure to ponder, to look in and say, who is this one named Jesus? And here's the truth. Jesus was sent to die. You know, last Saturday, they had the Army-Navy football game. And somewhere at the beginning of the game, the announcer said something that they say at the beginning of every one of those games. They said, the Army-Navy game is the only college football game played where every player on the field is willing to die for everyone watching on the stands. Wow. When you see that baby at the center of the nativity, remember, he was not only willing to die, he was destined to die. He came to die. And throughout his life, Mary pondered that truth, that God had entrusted her with this precious treasure, and that precious boy would die for her sins and for the sins of all the world, a treasure to ponder. I want you to see a fourth thing that the coming of Jesus offers us. Number four, the Bible says the coming of Jesus offers us a time to praise. A time to praise. The Bible says in verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The time came when the shepherds had to leave the manger and go back to their fields. After all, if they didn't get back, all their sheep would have just run away. And so they begin to make their way back. But as they're making their way back, they are praising and glorifying God for everything that they had seen. And they got back to their fields. And everything was the same. Same sheep, same sounds, same smells, same skies. Everything was the same, but they weren't the same shepherds because Jesus had changed them forever. Listen, when you trust Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, most of the things around you are going to stay the same. Same situation, same struggles, same difficulty, same boss, same family. Everything will be the same, but you won't be the same. He'll change you and he'll change your life forever. That's why he came, and that's why we praise him today. Would you say today that when Jesus saved you, your life has never been the same? If you'd say amen to that, just say amen right now. He changes us forever. So it's a true story. Little family, mom, dad, son, daughter, nativity set, two little baby Jesus figurines in the manger scene. Christmas season wore on and the phone kept ringing, but it was never anyone who had called missing a baby Jesus. Now it's Christmas Eve. And the mother's just so concerned, she says to her husband, Ray, I want you to go out and I want you to go back to the Five and Dime store and just see if all of the nativity sets have been sold. And he said, Ethel, I don't want to do that. It's the coldest night of the year. She said, I need you to go. Will you just go? And just make sure I don't want anybody to be missing baby Jesus. And so he put on his coats and the kids put on their winter clothes and he went out and he began to walk up toward the middle of town where the Five and Dime store was, 15 degrees below zero. His son and daughter were running out ahead of him. And so his daughter got to the store first. She looked in the shop window and she saw that the sign was still there, But all of the nativity sets were sold. She called back to her dad. She said, the last one has been sold. There's not one left. He turned on his heels and went back toward the house. And they came and again ran out in front of him as they were making their way back home. They got home, and when they got home, they took off their coats and they looked and they noticed that there on the dining room table was the nativity set, but there was just now one baby Jesus in the manger. And they noticed that their mom was gone. And so the father said, well, somebody must have called missing the baby, and your mom's taking the baby to them. Just about as soon as he said that, the phone rang, and it was the mom on the line, and she said to her husband, Ray, I need you to come to 205 Chestnut Street, and I need you to bring blankets, and I need you to bring cookies, and I need you to bring some milk. And he said, why? She said, please just do it. So he was irritated, but he put on his coat, and his kids put on their clothes, and they got the blankets, and they got the milk, and they got the cookies, and they went out, and they began to walk down several blocks, and it's getting colder and colder, now about 20 degrees below zero. The kids are still running out in front of him. He's just trudging along, carrying all this stuff, muttering to himself, it's the coldest night of the year, and she wants me to come to 205 Chestnut Street. Who knows why? And as they got to that house, it seemed like it was the darkest house on the block. They stepped up on the porch. As soon as they did, their mother came out. And she said to her son and daughter, there's some little ones back on the couch in the living room. You take these blankets and you give the blankets to those children. Help them to bundle up. And her husband's standing there and he's saying, what in the world is going on? We had to come out again tonight. What in the world is happening? And she looks at him and she says, this house doesn't have any heat. There's a young mother who lives here. She has five children. And her husband left them. And when he left, he took most of their furniture and all of their bedding and a lot of their clothes. And now they don't have any heat and they needed help. And as soon as he hears this, his facial expression and his voice just softens. And he says to her, well, how did you find out about them? By this time, the young mother's come out on the porch. And she says, when my husband left, I started doing everything I could to take care of our family. I've been ironing people's clothes and doing laundry. And she said, I've been cleaning up the Five and Dime store at night. And every night as I was cleaning, I would see that sign that said, if you're missing Jesus, call 7162. She said, I'm not missing Jesus. I know the Lord. She said, but I am missing heat. And she said, and I knew that if you were people were kind enough that you wanted somebody to get back their baby Jesus that they were missing, that you would be the type of person that I could call to help me. I couldn't get your number out of my mind. And so I called, and your wife answered. And she came. And the man said, well, you called the right number. And so he comes into the house. And he goes and starts working on the furnace. And he's able to get it lit. And in the meantime, the kids are there on the couch. And they're bundled up in those blankets. And they're eating their cookies and drinking their milk. And as they do, the mother who wanted someone to get that baby Jesus, she just began to sing to them. And she sang, this is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. And as she sang, that young mother spoke to her children and said, do you hear that sweet lady? She's singing about Jesus. She said, Jesus loves us. And Jesus sent these people here to help us. Jesus will never walk out on us or abandon us. Jesus knew we were in trouble and sent someone here tonight to light our furnace and to give us warmth, because that's what Jesus does. Jesus saves. Before the night was over, that little family had made two trips back to 205 Chestnut Street. They brought sweaters and coats and pants and two lamps and bedding and all kinds of things to make sure that family would have a better Christmas. They even brought some games and toys that they had. And when it was all over, later on, the older daughter said, that Christmas changed Christmas for us. She said, because we realized that the extra Jesus that we had was not ours to keep. He was ours to share with someone else who needed him. Someone who needed him as much as we did. And there on that little coffee table, in that house at 205 Chestnut Street, was one solitary figurine. No shepherds, no angel, no Joseph, no Mary, just Jesus. And he was enough. Can I tell you something this morning? He is enough. Because he reveals the Father to us, and he brings us God's salvation. I want you to join with me as we pray. Father in heaven, how we love you and praise you. We thank you for the message of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that he is your one and only Son, that you gave him so that everyone who believes on him should not perish, but have your gift of everlasting life. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Lord Jesus, we pray that during this Christmas season, we would take opportunity to share your love and to share your message with those around us. Lord, open our hearts to people who are in physical need. Lord, open our hearts to those who are in spiritual need. And Lord, open our lips that we would share. Open our hands that we would give. Lord, use us this Christmas season and in the days beyond to share and to show the love of Jesus to others. Then, Father, I pray for those under the sound of my voice right now who have never trusted in Jesus as Savior. Lord, show them right now that if they seek you, they will find you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the Bible tells us that when the shepherds went to Bethlehem seeking Jesus, they found him. He promises if you seek him, if you call on him and ask him to save you, you'll find him. He'll save you. He'll change your life and give you his gift of eternal life. And right now, I want to give you the opportunity, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to call on the name of Jesus and be saved. You can do that by praying a simple prayer. You just pray it in your heart as I pray it out loud. You can pray this way. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I believe that you're God's Son, and I believe you came to die on the cross to pay the price for my sin. Jesus, right now I turn from my sin, and I trust in you to save me. Give me your gift of eternal life, Jesus, and I will follow you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to stand to our feet.